This morning, we are continuing our series on emotionally healthy spirituality. And for those of you that haven't been around through the series, we've been talking about how it's so vital for our emotional lives to get straight and healthy because it affects every other part of our lives. God has created us as holistic creatures. We can't just segment and say, this is my spiritual life and this is my financial life and this is my physical life and so on and so forth. They're all embedded together and they all affect one another. We noted these top 10 signs of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. We said using God to run from God, ignoring the emotions of anger, sadness, and fear, dying to the wrong things, denying the past's impact on the present, dividing life into secular and sacred compartments, something similar to what I just described, doing for God instead of being with God, spiritualizing away conflict, covering over brokenness, weakness, and failure, living without limits, and finally judging the spiritual journey of others. We've been talking about how life is like an iceberg and how we present to the world a certain part of ourselves, but deep down inside, there's a whole other level that most people don't see. It's a level that most of us tend to ignore and deny and really don't do anything about, but we all know icebergs can cause great conflict and issues when when cruise ships and other objects find that there's more to it than is viewed on the surface. In the series, we've looked at knowing ourselves in order to know God. And we looked at the story of David and Goliath. We talked about Joseph and going back in order to go forward. And Abraham journeying through the wall. We looked at Jesus, the idea of enlarging your soul through grief and loss as we looked at the Garden of Gethsemane. And how Jesus expressed that. And today we're going to talk about one of the most vital ways to experience emotionally healthy spirituality. But before we dive into that, let's pray together. Awesome God, I thank you for the journey that you have had us on these past several weeks. As we're seeking to know you more, to fall deeper in love with you, but also to know ourselves better and know the distinct differences between us and you, Jesus Christ, the ultimate human being, the ultimate example for us to follow, the most emotionally healthy person that's ever walked our planet. I pray, dear God, that the next few moments together would draw us closer to you, not merely in an event, but in a transformational experience that allows us to leave differently. I pray that we would leave with tools able to better know you and to love our world. And that you would guide and lead me for these next few moments, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is an odd day to ask the question, but have you ever been in a blizzard? How many of you have ever been in a blizzard before? I mean, this is Michigan. Most of you have experienced blizzards. We should have one about now, don't you think? This has been the longest fall on record, I think. I'm not complaining, though. No, I'm not complaining. Whoa, wow. We got a lively crowd today. All right, this is good. Yeah, I'm totally satisfied, to be honest, with blue sky and all this. I still remember the blizzard of 78. Yeah, it tells you how old I am. In 1978, there were T-shirts made that said, I survived the blizzard of 78. And we missed a lot of school that year. I don't remember how many days we missed, but it was... I just remember that was like a great blizzard and great fun as a kid. Now this picture, I mean, just think about that. That is some serious snow right there for that guy to be standing up at the top of the electrical pole. And they actually, there are blizzards like that. I mean, this isn't photoshopped in or anything. There have been some serious, serious blizzards. In fact, I discovered this week that particularly in the Midwest, some of these blizzards, they would not only be so deep with snow, but the wind, you know, you have to have the wind, and it's not just a lot of snowfall, but there's the wind that kind of creates the blizzard. And what would happen in some cases, that farmers would be out in the barn, and a blizzard would come, and it would happen so quickly that on their journey from the barn to the house, they would be unable to find their house. The wind would be blowing and the snow, they couldn't even see. And so they would be walking toward the house and they would get disoriented and start walking in circles. And many farmers were actually found dead between the barn and the house, just unable to get home. Amazing to think about a storm coming that quickly and having that much power, that much thrust. In fact, what happened as a result is people were advised, in these, you know, whiteout situations where you just can't see anything. They would say, what you need to do is tie a rope to your back door of the house. And then as you go out to the barn or as you're out in the field or whatever, you need a rope. And that rope will guide you home in the midst of a storm. Any of you have storms in your life? Let me just ask you this question. How many of you are busy? All I get is laughter, and no one even raises your hand. I mean, how many of you are busy? Of course, yeah, we're all busy, right? Don't you hear that? Oh, I'm so busy. Sometimes life feels like a blizzard, and that blizzard isn't necessarily snow. Fortunately, not today. But life can feel like a blizzard because we've got all this stuff going on. We've got all this noise, all these things to do, all these expected planned things, as well as those unexpected things, right? You know, the flat tire and the trip to the ER and all that kind of stuff. That life can just be so crazy, so chaotic, just like a blizzard. We have so many things to do, places to go, noises and alarms set and everything else. We need a rope that can guide us through the storms and enable us to find our way home, to find our way back to God, to find our way through life in those dizzying moments. And today we're going to talk about two such ropes. The first was well understood by Daniel. And I've always liked the book of Daniel because my middle name is Daniel, so I always kind of feel like, yeah, Daniel. And if you turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, we're just going to take a few moments and look at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Now, some of you know this decree, right? What was the decree? Anyone? Don't pray to anybody but the king, right? So Daniel goes to his home, to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So it's not even that Daniel prays. It's that he prays where people can see him. The doors are open, the windows are open, and he prays how many times a day? Three times a day he prays. He ignores the decree, says, no king, no law, no God's going to stop my relationship with my king, my creator, my God. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? You all know what happened next, right? This is not exactly what happened. But it could have been, because miraculously, Daniel was in the lion's den and escaped alive. You know, Daniel is most famous for surviving that den of lions. He was a godly man that refused to compromise. And I've often wondered, how did he stay so courageous, so willing to surrender his very life for God? And I think it was all about his time with God. He spent so much time pouring into his relationship with God. And he knew God and he trusted God, and his faith and his strength in God was powerful. Some have called this time the daily office. How many of you have ever heard the expression the daily office? Okay? A few of you. The rest of you, you're in for a little learning experience this morning. The daily office is the first rope that can kind of help us, guide us through the blizzard of busyness and chaos in life. The word office in Latin literally means work of God. So we're not talking about something you get at Office Max or Staples. But the daily office is like the daily work of God in our lives. My work and your work is to seek God and to be with God. And that is the first work of all of us. We are spiritual beings designed to know God. And it's not merely a knowing that you read a book or a textbook or sit through a class or even come to a church worship experience and say, I know God, I'm done for the week, see you next week. I took my 1 hour spiritual diet pill. I went to Bible college. I got a degree. I passed this class. I'm a member of a group. I put money in the offering. These things really don't accomplish the relational aspect of knowing God that we are supposed to, not even supposed to, that we have the gift of enjoying. I've heard many people talk about Christianity. They say, well, Christianity is not a religion, it's about a relationship. And yet so many people that I know that call themselves Christians really don't have a relationship with God. They kind of go through these motions and they know some facts and maybe memorize some scripture verses. But when you talk to them, they don't really talk about God like they talk about their friends. They talk about God like, I don't know, they would talk about Michael Jordan, someone they know a lot about, they've heard about, but don't really intimately know. Now, the daily office is not morning devotions or merely a quiet time, though these are very, very valuable tools for helping us to connect with God. And let me just say up front, the daily office and anything I'm about to say, the goal and the ambition is about helping you connect with God. Period. It's all about your relationship with God. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're all wired a little differently. Okay, we're all wired a lot differently. We have different interests, different personalities. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. And so I'm not going to subscribe any one-size-fits-all model for you to follow this morning. But I will say this. It's critical for you and I to spend time with God. Whenever that is, however that is. The daily office has enough power to slow us down, to stop, to be with God and to seek Him. The psalmist said, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. That's what King David said. He says that seeking God is his work. I don't know if you could really write this and mean it. I can think about things that I seek in my life. Maybe for some of you, one thing you seek is that the Patriots win the Super Bowl. Maybe one thing I seek is that the dinner that we're about to have this afternoon is really, really good. Or one thing I seek is a promotion at my work. Or what I really seek is a spouse or a child or healing. The one thing that I seek is an opportunity to grow or to win the lottery. I mean, we think about all the things that we seek and that we pursue. Can it be said of you that one thing you seek more than anything else is God, to know God, to know your Father? I don't know a lot of people that can really say this. In fact, I was surprised several years ago. I went to a pastor's prayer summit, and it just so happens I will be leaving for one tomorrow. I appreciate your prayers. The next 3 days, I'm going to be joining with a bunch of area pastors from Washtenaw County, and we're just going to go out to a camp and pray for 3 days. And we're going to pray for the county. And that's it. There's no speaker. There's no agenda. We're just going out to pray and seek the heart of God. I ask you to pray for me, that I would hear God, and pray for my family, that they'd be protected, because strange things often happen when we go off and pray. Enemy's not too happy about that, especially when diverse groups of people come together and pray. And I remember, I think it was the first prayer summit that we went on, and I met this guy, and he had one of these collars, you know, like the little white collar thing. It always kind of spooked me, to be honest. Like, I never grew up in a tradition with the clerical collar, and as you can tell, I haven't adopted that tradition yet. But I discovered he was a Roman Catholic priest. And I thought, oh boy. So, let me get this straight. So you worship Mary, the Pope is your boss, you don't believe in the Bible. You know, like all these weird thoughts and stereotypes and whatever, things that I was completely ignorant about came about. And all I can say, friends, is at the end of that 3 days with Father Ed Freedy from Christ the King Catholic Church over by Domino's Farms, from that moment on, I can truly say this. I've never met anybody that knows and loves Jesus the way Father Ed Freedy does. Never thought I'd say that about a Catholic priest. But the man knows Jesus. He listens to Jesus. He talks with Jesus. And he loves Jesus with a passion that I, quite frankly, admire. I love to be with Father Ed because the more I'm with Father Ed, the more I just want to spend more time with Jesus. He talks as if Jesus is his best friend because he is. He knows Jesus. And I can tell you this, Father Ed Freedy would say this, that the one thing he seeks in his life is just to know Jesus. It's attractive to me. It's so radical. It's so countercultural. And I know that it takes time to build that relationship. You don't just say, all right, I just want to know Jesus. You got 30 seconds. Let's go. It takes time because all relationships take time. And the more time you invest in any relationship, the deeper and the more mature that relationship's going to be. The daily office involves four things. The first one is to stop. And this is a tough one. Of course, the others don't follow unless you stop. The second one, very simply, is to focus. Just to focus. Stop and focus. Focus on God. There's a lot of stuff in our world, New Age stuff about meditation. You empty yourself of yourself. And yeah, just open yourself up so demons can come in. No, it's about when you meditate, you stop and you focus on Jesus. And you invite Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit to come in and invade your life. The third thing is silence. Well, this one's a tough one. Some of you are like paralyzed. You're already shaking in your boots. Like, not silence. I can have silence as long as my iPod is going, right? And then the fourth thing is Scripture. Paper Scripture, online Scripture, whatever. But to get into the Word of God. The daily office could be done on a prayer walk with an audio Bible. You could spend time each day with God during a long commute. It can be done most anytime, most anywhere. But it needs to be a consistent time with God. Why? Because the discipline of daily time with God will create a rhythm and a flow which will center you, cleanse you, and allow communication with God. Not one-way communication, but an interactive two-way communication. The daily office was not unique to Daniel. King David, he wrote, "Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." It's not just like I'm going to do my devotions in the morning, and then I'll done with that duty. The rest of the day is mine. No, it's the idea of doing life with God. We talked a little bit about this several weeks ago with Brother Lawrence and practicing the presence of God, where Brother Lawrence would just do dishes. And as he did dishes and as he worked and did all these different things in this monastery, that he was just aware of God with him all the time. The daily office is really more than a quiet time. It's doing life with God. It's praying without ceasing. It's acknowledging that God is truly present. It's not so much asking God for stuff or trying to get things from Him, but rather just being with Him. Like another psalmist who wrote, "Seven times a day, I praise you for your righteous laws." I wonder how many of us even praise Him once a day, much less three times a day or seven times a day. These don't have to be big, long, hour-long experiences, but just several times throughout the day to get in a rhythm, a routine of just being with God, acknowledging God. One of my friends, every time he gets to a traffic light and it turns red, instead of getting all angry and anxious, it's just a cue for him. Oh, I'm going to spend the next couple moments just with God. And so he sits at the traffic light, he bows his head, he closes his eyes, and he waits for the person behind him to honk their horn. Not really. But that several times throughout our day that we do life with God. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, Psalm 92 says. The daily office is stopping to surrender to God and trust. And so the first rope is this daily office. The daily office is my first work, to seek God. It's to be aware of God and His presence with me every moment of the day. You go at your own pace. It's not how you do it, but that you do it. And what I'd like us to do is just give you a sample of the daily office right now. Just a little sample. So for the next 8 minutes, we're going to engage in the daily office. It'll begin with a minute of silence, which for some of you is going to just be really, really uncomfortable. But hang with me. I will time it. There'll also be a pause between the readings for reflection. So silence is when we are still before God to hear Him and know Him. The only thing that can really contain God, it's been said, is silence. The only thing that can contain God is silence. Kind of an interesting thought. So are you ready? "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's read aloud together. "For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's read together. "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Let's read together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if You forgive men when they sin against You, Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let's read together. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. So that's just an example. Not the perfect model to follow, but just an example of the daily office. It's a sample as well. That was 8 minutes long. For some of you, maybe it's 10 or 15 minutes. You want to do longer things. Maybe some of you are looking for resources and you're thinking, well, where do I get those readings or whatever? And there's all sorts of online resources. If you just Google search the Daily Office, there's also a series of books by a woman named Phyllis Tickle called The Divine Hours. And there's different books of prayer. They'll guide you through different days of different seasons. There's nothing, you know, particularly special about them. They're just assembled for different themes and different times of year. There's one for Christmas time and such. And it can be a really powerful tool. Now, I would love to stand in front of you and say, I do this 9 times a day, and I have been my whole life, and each time it's about an hour long, and, you know, I've really got this mastered. Not at all. In fact, going back and reviewing this material just kind of convicted me again of the need to do it. But the one thing that I will say is I've been challenged in recent months and have really tried to seize the challenge to really live my life and live each day throughout the day, pausing and reflecting and being aware of the presence of God and talking with Him, not just to Him, but with Him. And I have to say it's been quite remarkable to be aware of the presence of God in my life. Knowing that all the issues and the pain and the stress and the anxiety and the fear, that He's right with me and He's journeying with me. That He will always be with me, even to the very end of the age, as He promised, and that He will never leave me or forsake me. Now, for some of you, maybe that 8-minute experience was like really different and new. And I just wanted to take a moment and just get your feedback. Any thoughts, any comments on what we just did together? It was relaxing, okay? Yeah, I think it's the silence part is the part that, I mean, we're all good about reading and talking and making noise, but that silence thing, for some of you, it was probably deafening. Remember earlier, like stop and focus, and that focus part's really tough, right? Because we focus on 16 different things because we have plates spinning all over. Yeah, and in that silence, it's hard to focus and clear up. Good. Other thoughts, comments? Some of you introverts are like, that was wonderful. Or contemplative types and whatever. Yeah. Difficult to know you were contacting God. Wondering if it was just an exercise in futility or whether you were actually making a connection there. Yeah, excellent feedback. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. There's certainly a measure of faith that's required in any prayer, right? To know that we're not just talking to the wall or just filling up time. Good. Very good. Other thoughts? Prayer is an exercise in faith. Yep. Yeah, so you can turn off the noise and be silent, but still being still is sometimes more difficult. Yeah. Very good. Starting our day with God. I found that's true too. The mornings that I rush out and don't center myself are often the most frazzled days. Now, I've actually given you half of what I want to share today. And seeing that it is the time that it is, I will tell you the second rope, okay? I'm going to give you the second rope. And I would like you all to do a little bit of research and exploration this week. The second rope is called the Sabbath. And where the daily office can give us rhythm and it can give us pockets throughout the day to be with God, the Sabbath is designed to give us a pocket of rest throughout the week. Let me just say this briefly about the Sabbath. It is one of the top 10 commandments. The penalty for breaking the Sabbath was death. I hardly know anybody that follows the commandment that actually precedes stealing and murder and all that stuff. Look it up. Exodus 20. You will be reading it this week, by the way, as part of your reading through the Bible on Wednesday. It is a command of God. It's a command that Jesus actually reiterated. Granted, it had gotten a little bit, people got a little carried away with the Sabbath and the Pharisees, can't heal and all this stuff. The Sabbath is for us, not the other way around. But I challenge you, friends, to take 6 days and get your stuff done and take one day a week to be unproductive. It is radical. I think it's even more radical than pausing throughout the day to do the daily office. And here's the thing. Test God and see if you can't do more in 6 days with rest in Him than you can in 7. And right now, you're probably, I know, you're thinking, you got 50 excuses. You don't understand my job, my school, my work. If you are a mother of young children, you have an exemption. But beyond that, I challenge you to see if God and you together can't do more in 6 days with that day of rest. Stephen Covey in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, talks about sharpen the saw in this crazy, crazy notion. The guy's out, he's using a saw trying to chop down the tree, and the guy stops and says, hey, stop. If you will sharpen the saw, you will do much better knocking down this tree. And he says, I don't have time to sharpen the saw. I got to get this tree cut down. And the guy says, no, if you will stop and take 5 minutes and sharpen the saw, you will get that 5 minutes back and a whole lot more because that saw will just slice through with much less effort. Friends, that's the way the Sabbath works. If you will give God one day and not work and not be productive, just test Him. You can test Him on His commands. You can test Him on His promises. And see if He won't actually allow you to get more done in those 6 days. Kind of reminds me of a book, Too Busy Not to Pray. That's all I'm going to say about that for now. So two ropes to get through. Daily office, Sabbath. As the band comes up, we're going to close with a song that really reflects the heart of King David, where he said, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. And if this is a song that reflects your heart, or if it reflects what you want your heart to be, then the daily office and the Sabbath will give you tools to help you get there. God, thank you so much for inviting us into your house, into your courts, and into your presence. It's absolutely unimaginable that you would desire to know us and have a relationship with us. And yet everything that you are and all that you're about in terms of your work on planet Earth has been about restoring the broken relationship from the Garden of Eden. And we thank you for that invitation. We thank you for your welcome into your presence. And I pray, God, that you would remind us this week, throughout the week and throughout the day, of your presence. You'd remind us of your great love for us and your outstretched arms reaching out to love us and to encourage us and to guide us through the storms of life. And I pray that we would reach out with the ropes of the daily office and the Sabbath, that when life gets busy and chaotic, that we would be grounded and we would find our way home because of centering ourselves on you. Remind us throughout the day that you are with us. Help us to clear our schedules. Give us the courage to radically do things differently than our busy, chaotic culture to make space for you. Increase our faith, Lord, we believe, but help us in our unbelief to follow you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Christ's name, amen.